From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called God's Sovereign Purpose, part of his series in the 8th chapter of Romans. The text is verses 28 through 30, in which the Apostle Paul sets forth what Dr. Cairns has described as the five pillars of Christian knowledge. These are God's eternal election, his loving predestination of a people to be conformed to Christ, his effectual calling of those people, his justification of them through the atoning work of Christ, and their ultimate glorification. Here is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. So far, Dr. Cairns has explained what the Bible means by God's eternal election and predestination. The third pillar is what theologians refer to as effectual calling. This is the means whereby the Holy Spirit imparts life to dead sinners, enabling them to come to Christ for salvation. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Justice Satisfied. The text is Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My own sight of the precious blood is for my comfort, but it is the Lord's sight of it which secures my safety. Even when I am unable to behold it, the Lord looks at it and passes over me because of it. If I am not so much at ease as I ought to be, because my faith is dim, yet I am equally safe, because the Lord's eye is not dim, and he sees the blood of the great sacrifice with steady gaze. What a joy is this! The Lord sees the deep inner meaning, the infinite fullness of all that is meant by the death of his dear Son. He sees it with restful memory of justice satisfied, and all his matchless attributes glorified. He beheld creation in its progress, and said, "It is very good." But what does he say of redemption in its completeness? What does he say of the obedience even unto death of his well-beloved Son? None can tell his delight in Jesus, his rest in the sweet savor which Jesus presented when he offered himself without spot unto God. Now rest we in calm security. We have God's sacrifice and God's word to create in us a sense of perfect security. He will, he must pass over us, because he spared not our glorious substitute. Justice joins hands with love to provide everlasting salvation for all the blood-besprinkled ones.
Oh,
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Our good is to be conformed to the image of His Son. We have bought in too easily to the so-called American dream that our good is to be able to buy what we want, when we want it, even if we don't need it. Our good is to be able to do what we want, whenever we want, go wherever we want. That's what I want, I want, I want. That's supposed to be our good. You raise your children that way, you'll raise a bunch of spoiled brats. And God's not in the business of raising spoiled brats. God's in the business of conforming us to the image of His Son. That's our destiny. But I want you to see this. This is not just a hope. This is a destiny that's fixed. And the beauty of it is this, that it's all for the glory of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. When Jesus Christ came into the world, it was for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. The Lord Jesus came into the world specifically on the mission of bringing an innumerable company out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation unto glory. God's eternal purpose was to ensure a multitude of sons who are taken out of the pit of sin and wickedness and darkness and conforming them to Christ, bring them to glory forever with Christ forever standing at their head and throughout all eternity. Oh, the praise that rises to the glory of the Redeemer. Oh, what glorious praise is brought to Christ. Why? You see him? You see her? Children of Adam. Black. Dark. Wicked. Sinners. But look at them now. Sanctified perfectly forever. In body and in soul, with spirits made perfect, sinless as the creation of an angel, with bodies conformed and made like unto his glorious body, Christ standing at the head of such a people, he has all the glory, as the hymn says, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. I want to tell you this. Any time you talk of predestination, never forget God predestined his people to be conformed to the image of Christ. I get so sick of the egghead, the talking head, philosophic, speculative theologians, so-called, who want to sit around and they want to talk a load of philosophical gobbledygook about predestination and forget predestination has likeness to Christ as its great aim and its great design. I can think of in my lifetime people I knew who could talk to you all day about predestination. And they were as filthy and wicked and immoral and godless as the day was long. What a blasphemy. What a total blasphemy. God loved us to fix our destiny, to be conformed to the image of his own dear Son. Now, of course, if he fixed that destiny by divine decree, then there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then, yes, all things are working together for our good. Even the things that are uncomfortable, even the things that hurt the body, even the things that perplex the mind, even the things that we wonder, why is this happening? How can this be happening? Behind it all is a benevolent purpose that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. This is called effectual calling. This is more than an invitation or a general call. It is a particular call that is specifically and only directed to those whom God foreknew and whom God predestinated. It is therefore an effectual call. It is sovereign. It is powerful. Think of this. He called us out of death. I always like to think of that picture of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 11. You remember he stood at the grave of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I want you to get the force of that. You know, we read the Bible. We say we believe it all. I'm not for one moment doubting that we believe it all. But we sort of banish it from the realm of reality. This is a real world situation. I have stood at what is taken to be the grave of Lazarus. If it's not it, it would be one exactly like it. When you look down into that cavern, you just imagine somebody coming and the body's been stinking there for 4 days. And he stands there and he addresses that dead body. And then he commands that dead body to come out of the grave. Now, not only is the body dead, but it's bound from head to toe, bandaged like a mummy. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. If you want to see just how absolutely otherworldly, how absolutely sovereign and amazing that is, you go out to Woodlawn there and you stand at the grave that's been filled in and you say, come forth. But do it when there's nobody around. See, we're dealing here with an absolute miracle. Because Lazarus did come forth. Now, he didn't walk out of that grave. He couldn't. He was bandaged. How do I know? Because Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I remember when I was in Switzerland, I was asked to go to a place that the musical mission team goes to, and I think they'll probably be going this time as well. They go to every trip to Ebnot Kappel, beautiful place in the Alps, and it's run by a lovely Christian man. I was the first Calvinist ever to preach in that place. He was a stated Arminian. I got there because a Swiss medical doctor had picked up from Ralph Bauman, had picked up some of my tapes and had got more, had listened to more of my sermons, I think, than I had. And I preached them. God turned his life around. He was a saved man, but God blessed him and he became a great supporter of this ministry. It was burdened to have me go over there and preach, and so he introduced me to his friend. And away I went to preach. It was in Zurich. It was Sabbath afternoon. And I well remember I couldn't sleep the night before. I was awake the whole night, which is not good preparation to be preaching, especially when you're going to be going through an interpreter. The interpreter was Ralph Baumann, and many of you will remember him. And Ralph said to me, I would like you to write out your sermons. You'll know how I love to do that and read them. He says, I'd like you to write out your sermons because your sentence construction is much more complicated than most people who come here. So I want you to, help me here. So I did that. I preached at other places. And he said, look, I'd love you to preach. That's the message they need to hear. Of course, he had the script in front of him, so he had already done it once. It was going to be easier. He said, that's the message they would really need to hear down in Zurich. But as I lay awake all that night, I realized that wasn't a message. John chapter 3 was the message. And I'm not going down the alliterated outline that actually alliterated just as well in German as it did in English. Shows you how much German I knew. That was news to me. But I said to Ralph, Ralph, I'm not preaching that. I'm going to preach something I've no notes for. I've just been thinking about this all night as I lay in bed, and this is what God has led in my heart. Well, if ever you saw a preacher laying eggs, he was about to lay eggs. We got there. There was a good sense of the Lord's presence. And at one part of that sermon, talking about life, I said something that I've said here many a time. And our brother Steiner, the Arminian, listening to Cairns, the Calvinist. We should have been, of course, by everybody's reckoning. We should have been enemies right off. We should have been at each other's throats. We weren't. We hit it off. We were friends from the word go. I loved to see the grace of God in the man's life and ministry. And he responded to mine. But that day, I remember saying to the brethren and the people assembled there, Come to John 11. Now here's the question. Did Lazarus live because he obeyed the call of Christ? Or did Lazarus obey the call of Christ because in calling him, Christ gave him life? They'd never thought of it before. And I remember afterwards, Brother Peter coming through the interpreter. He could speak no English and I could speak no German. You wonder if I can speak English, but I certainly spoke no German. Through the interpreter, he said, will you say that again? Will you go over that again? And this was not to find fault or argue or have a theological discussion. This was just to let this sink in and ponder this. It's a great question. This is effectual calling. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time in your life and mine, if you're a Christian, when lying dead as a corpse in the grave of your sin and your depravity, you were there and you could do nothing about it. And Jesus came and he stood over you as he stood at the grave of Lazarus and he called you by your name and he said, come forth. Now, did you come forth? Yes, you did. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved. You obeyed the call of the gospel, and you obeyed it from the heart. But here's the question, the real question. Did you obtain life because you obeyed the call, or did you obey the call because, as in the case of Lazarus, when he called you, he gave you life? The Bible gives you the answer to that question, you know. Doesn't leave it to speculation. In Ezekiel 16, you have the picture of the sovereign God finding us like an aborted babe lying in its own blood. And the sovereign Christ comes and he says, live. Live. That's the answer. That is God's effectual call. Called us out of death. And now we live because he gave it to us. He called us out of darkness. He called us out of the power of Satan unto God. He hath called us to his own kingdom and glory. What a contrast. We were in darkness, but now we're in the light. We were under the power of Satan. Now we're made alive in Christ by the power of God. He called us out of death, out of darkness. But he not only called us out, he called us unto the fellowship of his Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I put it all together. If God called us according to his purpose, and if God is faithful, then there can be no doubt. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. There can be no doubt. All things work together for good to them that love God. We know because he has called us effectually. But whom he called, he justified. Our justification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.